Another episode of Inside Out, where we meet some of Microsoft's partners. And today we're with Mark Scott from SQLsoft.
SQLsoft Plus.
SQLsoft yeah. Plus. All right, what's going on? What do you guys do?
Well, SQLsoft has been around for a long time. It's about 88. Mm-hmm. And we actually, the Plus I mentioned was added when we purchased the company back in 2000. We'd sold the company to another company called Aeris in 96. Ah. We'd been a training consulting and then training company. Mm-hmm. And we saw a lot of the things going on in the dot-com era and so forth. We were a training organization, always wanted to get into consulting. we were acquired by Aeris, who had a large consulting practice. Felt that putting the two pieces together would make a good fit. Mm-hmm. We tried for 4 years. It didn't work. Mm. We spun out in 2000, figuring that was the end of the tech wreck. Mm-hmm. And we caught the ball as the ball was still falling. Uh-huh. And we found a lot of people knew us in the local market by SQLsoft. Mm-hmm. We added the Plus, and really that really distinguishes really what we've done in terms of a partnering model. Mm. We grew out of, when we came out of Aeris, became SQLsoft again. We've developed a partner program where we worked with a number of different partners from a training perspective and so forth to add really the broadest curriculum offering to what our customers wanted from a training standpoint, which obviously quite a bit was Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And then there were holes in Microsoft's curriculum and so forth that we continue to fill through partners.
Interesting.
And several of the partners at the MPSC and other places where we have training facilities. Hmm. Has proved to work to be a good model. It's worked very well for us.
Interesting. So, you know, usually who we interview on this show are what we call ISVs, mm-hmm. or independent software vendors, mm-hmm. who are also going to be partners, but they produce products.
Sure.
They implement on top of our platform. They mm-hmm. extend it. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. You actually educate people on how to do said things.
Exactly.
And you're actually doing this at the MPSC, which is the Microsoft Partners or whatever it's called. I'm sorry.
The Solution Center.
Thank you, the Solution yeah. Center.
Correct. So we do it both there and in our own classrooms and frankly all over the world. Excuse me. We really position ourselves to be working with early adopters, with ISVs, with other folks that are trying to utilize Microsoft and other technologies. And really try and get the word out there as quickly as we can. What I try and position ourselves as is Microsoft drops this technology into the water, mm-hmm. and it starts a ripple effect. And we try and be as close to the middle of that as we possibly can, hmm. and really help Microsoft get the word out to their developers, to ISVs, to systems integrators, to partners, and what have you. So as a training company, you know, you're always sowing the seeds of your own demise. You know, we need Microsoft at Redmond and other software companies to keep providing product for mm-hmm. us to train on to keep, you know, as technology moves forward. We're continually pushing ourselves, you know, at the front edge to mm-hmm. try and bring that to the people who are looking for it, which technically, you know, typically are, you know, large corporate customers and really people that see technology as an advantage mm-hmm. for them in their business. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting because we're always in front of the latest and greatest.
Sure.
I picked up a copy of Directions of Microsoft in the lobby, saw several articles about things we're working with right now, and we're actually on a global training gig right now for Forefront and some of the Microsoft, the MDOP, the Desktop Optimization Pack, and
okay.
actually delivering that training all over the country and the world.
Excellent. So it's interesting because you are named SQLsoft, mm-hmm. which is simply one of our products.
Yep.
Big one though it is.
Sure.
It's just one. What's your spectrum?
Well, it's interesting. SQLsoft started out as a development company in 88. We mm-hmm. were building software tools for VB1 and and SQL Server on OS2.
Wow.
And so we actually started out as a tools company and then found out that it takes much more money than we had mm. to really be a tools company. And that was about the time Back Office came out. And so we actually got on the bandwagon and rode and saw, you know, NT come out, did all the training on that. You know, mail, and that which turned into Exchange, mm-hmm. SQL Server through the various versions, and so we were really focused up until about 90, till about 95, 96, on just this huge outgrowth of products. You know, from Microsoft, they built out the whole back office, mm-hmm. and we were training HP and Compaq and all these guys on NT. We did the early training, so forth. So it was really very much focused on the back office products initially. The last thing I trained on was Windows 95, and then I found my way into doing other things. But anyway, that's really where we started. And now we've extended that to more business process types of classes. Mm-hmm. What we're finding is that as Microsoft is going from a platform, a horizontal platform company, into standing up vertical applications, mm-hmm. that the need for training changes. Mm-hmm. You're training now on the Dynamics products, these types of things, which tend to be a much different audience than the typical infrastructure guy, mm-hmm. or database, DBA kind of person who is taking the SQL Server classes and so forth. Mm-hmm. Those people still exist. They still need the training as mm-hmm. they cycle through, their careers. And we see people about every 2 to 3 years. We see typical IT pros that need to recycle their skills mm-hmm. about every 2 to 3 years. But as far as our offering goes, it's gone beyond Microsoft into typically products I saw that Danny Kim with Full Armor.
Yeah,
you met with him.
Yeah,
so we actually have developed a course together with him around Full Armor, around some of the Active Directory objects and that kind of thing. So. We've done that with several products as they come out. So we're pretty opportunistic. We're a small company. We're just, 30 people. We've got a consulting arm. We add that. We've got 50. Hmm. We try and put ourselves in front of the Microsoft train.
Interesting.
Frankly. I mean, that's where Microsoft's spending the money, the marketing. Yeah. That's where they've got a bigger marketing and research budget than we do.
Sure.
So they know what big corporate America is looking for, and we try and put ourselves...
Absolutely. Well, I mean, without, I'm not dissing marketing. I mean, mm-hmm. marketing is very important for any successful
sure.
business. But marketing isn't in the business of teaching people how to really use a product, as opposed to getting mm-hmm. them excited about said technology.
Right.
This is where you come in. You got it. Marketecture. I mean, save you money.
That's right.
So, but it's wonderful stuff. We have great marketing mm-hmm. here at Microsoft, mm-hmm. for sure. But I would ask you, what exactly do you do at the MPSC? Are you, do you ever go up and talk to other partners that are there and say, hey, man, maybe you want some training?
Absolutely. I mean, that would be in the ideal world, they would uh-huh. all, the partners would all see us, recognize the value that we provide uh-huh. in terms of extending their offering, mm-hmm. and immediately sign up and say, oh, geez, we want you to run this training program for us.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, that hasn't happened as yet. We're doing a better job in terms of integrating with the partners there, and I think David Hayes, who's out there now, mm-hmm. has a closer vision to what we think the MPSC can be used for in terms of us providing a whole host of services, all the way from event logistics to content creation to content delivery to assessment. We go really the whole gamut, and that's a whole range of services that are available to us, that are available to our customers. Mm-hmm. And sure, we'd like to extend that to the partners at the MPSC if we could.
Excellent. So one of the things I think when we look at what we produce as a company, we produce some really excellent technologies, but the quality of, say, the guidance and documentation that ship when those things ship isn't always up to speed.
No.
So, because guidance, honestly, and documentation usually happens later in mm-hmm. the phase. Mm-hmm. What do you offer? Do you help us with that? Do you help?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've written some courses. We've written white papers. We've written best practices. So
good.
I mean, we're on campus and we're there to help out. And mm-hmm. and it helps us out too. Mm-hmm. But I think you hit the nail on the head. The biggest mm-hmm. challenge for us, from an education perspective, is mm-hmm. getting that content. Mm-hmm. And I know Microsoft's going through the philosophy changes in terms of how you get that information out there, whether you push it through a channel, whether you make it broadly available through blogs, mm-hmm. How do you get information out there? I mean, in Office now, you have the online help, right? And mm-hmm. you have a problem with a specific access or aspect of a program, mm-hmm. you can click online, you go online help, then you start seeing chat windows pop up. Mm-hmm. So the traditional education, if you will, mm-hmm. The lines are blurring.
Sure.
And it's a tough spot for us to be in because, frankly, there's a hell of a lot of investment that goes into maintaining a training center, right? We've got 8 classrooms here in Bellevue. We've got 3 at the MPSC. We've got 4 in Beaverton, Oregon. Mm-hmm. You multiply 12 to 16 machines, and guess what? They're all running server products, right? So now you're talking about 4 gigabyte memory times X number of machines. Mm-hmm. That's a significant infrastructure investment for us. Mm-hmm. And there's a push towards making everything available on the web and these other delivery formats, all of which are, make sense in terms of driving the cost down for gaining, you know, for getting education. Mm-hmm. But it's as a partner, it can be difficult because it's a mm-hmm. you think, oh, anybody can just stand up in front of a class with a book mm-hmm. and teach. But mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot, like any business, there's a lot behind the scenes that people don't see.
Sure.
And there's a tremendous investment on our part in terms of recycling that hardware and the content, keeping the instructors up to speed. Mm. You know, guys don't stand up in front of the classroom and know the stuff like that. They study. They have to prep. They have to get ready for it. And that's one of the things. We have a very low, I mean, industry-wise, our utilization target is lower for our employees mm-hmm. that are instructors, because we want to make sure that they understand how the products work together. When they stand up in front of a classroom, they can talk about how, you know, CRM might work with the latest version of IIS. You know, mm-hmm. what's the impact of Windows 2008 going to be on Exchange or what have you? And so we try and build that into our instructor base and our employee base.
Sure. Well, I mean, you bring up a really interesting point, I think, in general, because with the advent of blogs and mm-hmm. blogging, you know, I remember Robert Scoble used to be on the Channel 9 team, was my colleague. Mm-hmm. He's a big-time blogger. Mm-hmm. And he would say, I remember him talking about how blogging is going to replace Microsoft PR, mm-hmm. When in fact that's not the case. I mean, I think when people always start, they kind of go too far, right? So they say you can do everything on the internet, mm-hmm. everything online. Right. Well, actually, sometimes it's useful to sit into a class for 8 hours mm-hmm. and get super hardcore on you know, training humans. Mm-hmm. Other people around you, communicating, getting into work groups. Sure. Not everything can be done virtually, and certainly, you know, you're not going to replace constructs just because something new comes where you can do a similar mm-hmm. Type of thing, but in a different format.
Right. Yeah, I mean, my business partner, who I've been a business partner with for umpteen years, his first programming job was for my father when I was in junior high school. So we go way back.
Huh.
And he's very attuned to what goes on at Redmond. You know, we make a good pair because, you know, he'll see something out of Microsoft, he'll grok it. Mm-hmm. He's 2 years out of the curve. And I'm like, oh, dude, how do we make money on this right now?
Yeah.
So he grasps the technology in terms of what's happening, what's coming down the road. Mm-hmm. Immediately can put together a plan and a vision in terms of how to get the word out and why this is important. Mm-hmm. But frankly, because we are so close to Redmond, sometimes I think we think that the whole world mm-hmm. is on the cutting edge.
Sure.
But there's plenty of people who aren't, you know. So you have to strike that balance in terms of when does it become viable from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. And so he and I joke a little bit because, you know, we have to be paranoid in this business, is that the online is going to kill instructor-led training. Mm-hmm. Well, it's absolutely eating away. I mean, people are picking that up. Mm-hmm. We've seen some erosion from an instructor-led delivery standpoint, but you're right. Some people need, if it's their career, mm-hmm. they like a week to get away from the office and focus mm-hmm. on what they need to focus on and not be pulled into a meeting or into mm-hmm. a fire drill or what have you. So mm-hmm. it is very challenging, and you never know when it switches. We run into that when product versions change. Mm-hmm. You know, Windows Server 2008. At some point, the earlier server classes will fall off, mm-hmm. and you'll see it coming out 2008. But you really never know when it's going to drop.
Sure.
You know, where it's going to shift.
But I mean, there's also the opportunity for, you know, in your particular case, to leverage what Microsoft offers in terms of a development platform and a software plus services kind of strategy, where you could have your instructor-led kind mm-hmm. of expensive, because they are going to be mm-hmm. somewhat expensive to get individuals there and mm-hmm. have them there all day.
Sure.
for a week. Mm-hmm. But you could augment that with, say, really compelling Windows applications that mm-hmm. connect up to your web services that can teach people things mm-hmm. in a very interesting way, using WPF, mm-hmm. highlighting the stuff that you're actually teaching, mm-hmm. which could be kind of interesting. And then you throw in advertising in there somehow, and maybe, you know, hey. But anyway, I mean, it's an interesting thing in business, because on one hand you're threatened but also stimulated
sure.
to excel and mm-hmm. innovate, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is something that happens to us too. Look
Absolutely.
At Google's, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, and what we find too is that, like you say, I mean, you know, the internet isn't for everything. And you find mm-hmm. the same thing. I mean, people have tried, you know, as long as Microsoft's made several runs at online training. And parts of it work, parts of it don't. Mm-hmm. And they're changing the modality of a lot of their courseware and this type of thing. you know, they're all, everybody's just trying to hit the sweet spot where it meets the market, and you end up with, you know, a generational thing that's happening too, which is most of the people that we see coming through the classes, two classes now, if they're reasonably new to IT, they've been through a college class where they've had some online experience.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas 5-10 years ago, we never saw that. The people that were in IT at that point never had that experience. And so part of it is, what's your audience ready for? You know, and so, you know, we change, you know, we offer some things web-based, we offer some things through video conferencing, telepresence, those types of things. Those are all things that we have to really see how our customer base will absorb those.
Sure.
But they're all asking, I mean, they're all asking for a cheaper way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, and especially right now with the price of oil and transportation and hotel and all that kind of thing, people don't want to travel to take classes.
Interesting. You know,
that's a bigger part, that's a bigger component of the training than, well, the time off work and the absence from being in the office doing their job is most expensive.
Sure.
Then you've got getting them there, travel, all that kind of thing, and then beyond that you've got the tuition. So it's expensive. It can be an expensive proposition.
Absolutely. Sure. But then again, I mean, I, as a Microsoft employee, every, I don't know what it is, every 2 or 3 months we have to take these silly training courses, you know, how to be ethical, how to... You know, typical things that you'd want your employees of a big business to be able to understand and learn. So you go through these training courses. And they're presented in interesting ways, right? They give you little vignettes, and then you answer, you get quiz at the end of each vignette. But, you know, to be honest, you know, half my mind is checking email and editing videos and whatever I'm doing, and then the other half is going back to that and going, that's logical. Right. Next. And I hope it doesn't get me fired for saying that, but I'll take the chance.
Right.
But there is a difference, again, when you're in a real environment. Like, I would not want to go to college in a completely virtual mechanism, right? It would just not be the same as sitting around humans and having a human teaching you. There's this difference. There's this thing called experience.
Yeah, I mean, we're a social creature.
Exactly. So, I mean, and also you're sort of, when you're in an audience, it's like, I'm never going to go to the movies again because I have a big HD television. Never going to go to a movie theater again. No, that's not true.
Right.
No, it isn't true. You can't make popcorn as good as you get in a movie theater.
Right.
Right? No, anyway, but it's true. So let's talk a little bit about, I'm really fascinated because as a partner who doesn't make software, what's your relationship with like Microsoft? I mean, how do the product teams treat you? What's the experience like?
Well, I can answer on a couple levels. One is we actually do make some software. We make our, we make our own.
Okay.
So, which we utilize internally. And one of our, I'm a big proponent of applied technology. I mean, my business partner likes technology for technology's sake. Not entirely, but I mean, that's a big part of what drives him. And I'm more about solving the problem and what are the tools available to me to solve the problem. And so we've taken an approach from a business perspective of trying to, you know, automate as much as we possibly can and innovate, make things available to our customers, which has required us to do a lot of development work. I mean, we're a company of, 40 people. I got a full-time .NET developer. I help out from a database standpoint, the SQL part, right? And together we kind of managed to get it done with a lot of these various Microsoft products. So we're a channel partner, and we have a relationship with Microsoft as a channel partner, you know, from an education standpoint. And, you know, we've been a part of that a long time, and we understand how that program works. And so we have kind of the CPLS component, the training aspect. Then we have what we talked about earlier, which is really kind of early to market, which is outside of the normal channels, which is really working directly with the product groups. And frankly, we have a very good relationship with them from that perspective because we help them get the word out about their product. You know, Microsoft has programatized education. I mean, they have a specific program. We fit into one of the boxes, right, for solution, right? You got your solution providers, right? And you got all the boxes they fit in, right? So they moved us. They treated us separately a few years ago. Now we're one of the other boxes. Along with, the security guys, the infrastructure guys, the consulting, and then you got training over here. So when Microsoft starts releasing new technology, they've got this wonderful distribution mechanism through their CPLS channel. They've got these people all over the world. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I don't want to, you know, overuse the metaphor, but it's kind of like McDonald's, right? You can go anywhere, and it's like a McDonald's. There's one, there's a CPLS in every major city, mm-hmm. and you can go get your training. Mm-hmm. But when you talked about, you know, us being, you know, being social creatures and liking to talk directly and kind of interact with new technology, mm-hmm. you know, think about when people do product launches, you don't dump it out to broad distribution right out of the gate because there's not enough knowledge about it. There aren't enough people who really understand it. And so how are you ever going to get any buzz around it? Mm. So when we work with the product groups, what we're able to do is the product groups are special to us. Their product is special. We're interested in making people know about their special product. So we can help them get the word out both internally at Microsoft through like field events where we're training field and those types of things, to then maybe talking about our local partners, and then maybe we go out to the sales offices. And so we try and really kind of create the buzz underneath these products that when we're done with it, now drop it into your broad distribution mechanism. And now you can be very successful with the product. But I think one of the things, if I were to, a criticism would be, or a difference of opinion is that
sure.
there's many of these products that, you know, they try and take them from incubation to running through an established program. And I understand why you have to programatize things like that in a large organization like this. But I think a lot of times a lot gets missed, and you talk about Dynamics, which is here you've got this Microsoft. They bought all these products and built some of their own, right? Mm-hmm. What are they doing to stand up in education and partner readiness? And there's a partner readiness team and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But how long has Microsoft owned those technologies? Mm-hmm. It's been like 3 years.
Okay.
So what are they doing to build the buzz? I mean, I was at a partner conference recently talking with other partners around Dynamics, for example. Mm-hmm. And they're frustrated because they can't get the information out of Microsoft to build a small army that needs to go out and deploy this stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't do Microsoft any good because that's slowing down license sales. The adoption isn't happening as quickly.
Sure.
Those of us who have adopted it are somewhat frustrated because there's an absence of information to maintain this thing. So when we talked about integration points, we're deploying CRM. We deployed Navision recently. We have our own homegrown .NET applications. You know, we put all those things together. We're migrating off of Siebel, an existing application, and I read directions on Microsoft. You know, I opened it up, and it just happened to say, "Oh, you might want to use your solution provider or your partner to help deploy this technology because it's not particularly well documented yet, right?" So we're living that right now,
true,
and that's frustrating for us.
So I mean, that's another opportunity I think for a business would be to. Just like you have external companies that will take and extend our offerings, there could be companies that take and thoroughly understand our offerings and then write excellent documentation for it. Because, we're not a super closed company. We do expose incredible amounts of information. And so certainly with our platforms, you should be able to have, that could be a business plan. And who knows, maybe Microsoft would pay you to do it. But the point is, with Dynamics, that's interesting because, as you said, we bought a big giant company, one in Denmark, and there's other places around the country, but the main one was in Denmark, I believe, just outside of Copenhagen. They were sort of written on a different platform from a strategy point of view.
Sure.
Right? From let's look down 5 years. And so we've had to do a lot of work to bring that into the nest. But again, somebody like you on the sidelines, who are actually not on the sidelines, but in the game, could be understanding, evaluating, and writing. But that's just...
It's a really expensive to write coursework.
Is it?
That's why Microsoft isn't doing as much of it, I think.
Interesting.
But to your point, when we saw that start, it used to be Microsoft Business Solutions, right? So
MBS.
Right? So... Well, the first thing I did, I registered mbsuniversity.com, went to Microsoft and said, hey, why don't we use our infrastructure, because we built a lot of it as far as managing these various deliveries around the world, why don't we work with you guys to create that tight community of early adopters and get people spun up on these Dynamics products? You know, we'll do the infrastructure, we'll bring the guys in, we'll get this thing rolling. And, Microsoft was in the midst of integrating a lot of big, you know, businesses they just purchased. And the timing wasn't right, not talking to the right person, what have you. But, I mean, that's where I think both the opportunity and the challenge is for us, is to find the right people within a large organization like this to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think when we have worked with guys in product groups who get it, mm-hmm. they're very happy about it. It works very well. And I think sometimes it's a bit of a reach, because, you know, internally people are driven to very specific metrics and you know, how do we do this? And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times people are real busy, mm-hmm. you know. You can say, hey, we can help you out this way. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to pitch it, right? To
exactly.
Say, hey, we can help you this way. And some of them get it and some of them don't. And we can't expect that everybody will. Mm-hmm. But folks that we have been doing it with have been pretty pleased, I think. And we've had a very good reach. We did that very successfully with the MIIS product. Mm-hmm. You know, we did an early partner training. It was a win-win. Microsoft understood who their customers were. Mm-hmm. We did the training. We did it worldwide. Went
cool.
for 2 or 3 years.
Nice.
That's the perfect engagement for us.
Cool. Well, keep it up, you know, keep it going.
Good. We'll try.
And it was great meeting you.
All right. Pleasure.
And enjoy the MPSC. That's what I'm going to start calling it from now on, because apparently I just can't remember the simple four words. Microsoft Partner Solutions Center.
You got it.
Right on.
All right.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Cheers.